friends, good evening and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here tonight, as always. It's Thursday, June 21st, 2007, 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. And what's it, summer solstice today, right? I'm sure the pagans are out and about doing their little rituals and all that shenanigans. Well, obviously we had a little extra daylight today. It was kind of bizarre. I think it was about 9 o'clock before it even got dark here in northwest Arkansas. So very, very short evening here tonight, but we're going to spend it with our good friend Joseph Farrell. He'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. Probably, thank you, Manny. I guess he's with us right now, but we'll get him in just a second here. He is probably one of my most favorite guests to chat with. He is just so well-versed and so brilliant on so many different subjects that I know will cover a great deal of ground here tonight, and I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure you are as well. Be aware of our phone number because you may want to chime in, ask your questions, make your comments. That phone number is 1-800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Welcome to all of you joining us online, listening at the only officially sanctioned website of the network. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org. Lots of wonderful information there, and lots of great products available to you. And, of course, any purchases you make to the network there will support our operations, allow us to continue doing what we do, what we love to do, which is, of course, do these kinds of shows. And for those of you out there who maybe are listening on shortwave, well, you wouldn't be listening to this show, but maybe you used to listen on a shortwave, and now you're listening perhaps in an archive or something like that. Be aware of those satellite dishes they have now at the republicbroadcasting.org website. Those things go for about $150, and you can pick up not just this show, but pretty much every show on the network and a lot of other networks as well. And for $150, it's a pretty darn good deal, I think. Shortwave radios themselves cost that much, and this gives you a lot of variety, and it comes in crystal clear. So it's really a beautiful system, a beautiful setup, and a great opportunity to upgrade some hardware into maybe something a little different. But it's really a fantastic thing. So anyway, there's that, and our website for the show, www.franklyspeakingradio.com. Lots of wonderful information there, courtesy of one guy, the hardworking webmaster James. We appreciate him endlessly for all that he does for all of us. And, yeah, fantastic stuff. So here we are Thursday evening, at least for another hour or so here in the Central Time Zone. And just a weird day. It's been a weird week. I'm sure it has been for all of you as well. Lots of weird things going on in the world and in the news, and endless amounts of stuff that I've got here in front of me. One of the things I wanted to bring up here was a couple of stories that you might find interesting to kind of lead into where we'll go with our guest tonight, Joseph Farrell. The first one came out, well, I guess technically tomorrow. It's from the UK. Times Online is where you can find it. Desperate attempts to forge a deal with the future of Europe were overshadowed last night by an astonishing demand for the voting system to reflect Polish population losses caused by the Nazi invasion. In 1939, Polish leaders said the proposed EU voting formula based on population disadvantaged their country because it had still to recover from the millions lost during the Second World War. That's a big shocker. Now, if you've not been paying attention, German Chancellor Angela Merkel is trying to basically facilitate some form of an EU constitution, and the British are putting up a fight about it. And now the Polish are as well, basically saying, hey, look, their population today would be somewhere around 66 million had the Nazis not decimated their country. Their population currently is 38 million, so a voting system based on population is a disadvantage to them, and they would like that to be corrected. But here you can see in 2007 the effect that the Nazis had on everything, and it still comes up all the time. There's more, of course, and we'll be talking about some of these things with our special guest this evening. Joining us when we come back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio and our very esteemed guest this evening, Joseph Farrell. Please stay with us.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful when food supplies get short, with no future. Many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and very excited that you're here with us tonight. And I mentioned, of course, that first story there about the Polish position on the I could have said pole position. That would have been really funny, but I didn't, so I screwed it up. Never mind. I'll go back. So the Polish position on the EU Constitution. Anyway, obviously affected by the Nazis. They're still talking about that. Here's another story from Times Online, which this one came out June 16th. Kurt Waldheim, the former Secretary General of the United Nations, who died on Thursday, aged 88, asked for understanding of his Nazi past in a last word released yesterday. He denied he was guilty of war crimes, but said that he had taken a position on Nazi crimes much too late. What does that mean, right? A position? Good for you. This is because of his, quote, hectic and full international life, end quote. He was the head of the UN from 1972 to 1981 and also the president of Austria from 1986 to 1992. The controversy erupted shortly after Waldheim's election as president when a magazine published a copy of his German army service record, which showed that he was a member of the SA political militia. Waldheim argued that he was forced to join as a member of the Consular Academy's riding club and that his activities were purely athletic. Well, the Nazis did some athletic things, I suppose. But anyway, like I said, folks, you just can't get away from it. If it's not stories like this, it's accusations that Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela is an Adolf Hitler, that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran is an Adolf Hitler, that George W. Bush is an Adolf Hitler. It's sort of like the bar at which we put everyone at who is extremely disgusting to us. Whatever your position might be. I bring all this up because it has a direct bearing on what we're going to be talking about tonight, which is the vast wealth of knowledge contained in the skull of one Joseph P. Farrell. Our guest tonight, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me back. Frank, pleasure as always.
Well, it's a great honor for me. You've written some just incredible books. Of course, they are as follows. The Giza Death Star, The Giza Death Star Deployed, The Giza Death Star Destroyed, Reich of the Black Sun, and the SS Brotherhood of the Bell. One is at press, and there's about 1,000 up in your head waiting to come out. You're very prolific.
Well, yeah, I actually am writing a new book now. I do have a book coming out. I think my publisher said around August or possibly as late as September, but it's definitely on the way. But
awesome.
Yeah, there are a lot of books, and as you know, I kind of interconnect things between all of the books. So yeah, this next one's going to be interesting. But the story that you kind of let off there, I hadn't heard about it, and it kind of gave me pause. And while the break was going on, I was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be analyzed any number of ways, but, you know, one of them is I don't think the Poles have an entirely legitimate case. And the reason is if you look at the current map of Poland, it's undergone what I call the westward shift. If you look at the pre-war boundaries of Poland, there was a considerable portion of it that stuck over into what is now Belarusia and the Ukraine in what used to be the former Soviet Union. And, of course, the Nazis and the Soviets partitioned Poland, and that eastern half of Poland more or less was lost to them, and permanently so, as it turns out, as a result of the war. So Poland kind of shifted westward into territories that had been German for a considerable time.
Hmm.
The Oder-Neisse line and so on was actually much further into Brandenburg and Pomerania, which had been part of Prussia for some centuries. So I don't think it's entirely legitimate from that standpoint of view. But the other standpoint is that the story kind of brings out something that's not really very well appreciated, and we can go directly back to the Second World War to appreciate this. And that is that the European Union really is dominated almost totally by France and Germany.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not surprising to me, and I certainly understand and don't blame the British for fighting some of this stuff for so long. It was one of the main reasons that Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher was finally cashiered, because she just would not go along with the idea of a surrender of British sovereignty, even to the form of having British currency become absorbed into the euro. So this is all kind of gelling with what I'm about to say, and that is toward the end of the war, Reichsleiter Martin Bormann, who was the actual chairman of the Nazi Party, and many would say that he was the actual de facto ruler of Nazi Germany during the war, and I happen to agree with that point of view, because if we look at the history, Hitler himself was so involved and really kind of up to his ears with military operations that the other administrative duties that he had as the Führer and Reichschancellor really kind of fell to Bormann. So Bormann is the actual administrator of almost everything else inside of the Third Reich during the final stages of the war, at least from 1941 on. And Bormann, in 1944, summoned a meeting of German industrialists, a very, very secret meeting, at the French city of Strasbourg, at the Hotel Maison Rouge, or if you prefer the German variant, the Hotel Rotus Haus. And there he laid plans for the post-war economic resurgence of Germany. And in effect, what he put into place was a goal to get as much technical and economic resources of the Reich outside of Europe as he could, into South America, into various front companies, and so on. He created, in effect, what is a Nazi international. Now, most people don't know, but it is a fact, that one of the parts of this plan was that he wanted to create a post-war German economic dominance of Europe. So in other words, what the Nazis had failed to achieve through military arms and conquest became a goal of this Nazi international after the war. Now, I find that very, very disturbing, because if we look at the hidden history of modern German politicians, it becomes rather disturbing. Chancellor Kohl, who, of course, was the chancellor during German reunification, had a great deal of his funding in his election campaigns come from a German kind of exile-y emigre society called the Silesian Exile Society, whose motto was, "Patience, it will be ours again someday."
Wow.
Yeah. Silesia, of course, is that part of Germany that used to be kind of the arm that stuck down between Poland and Czechoslovakia, and which is now part of Poland. And it's that little province of Germany at the time that was the home to some of these very secret SS experiments like the Bell and some of their uranium enrichment facilities that we've talked on about previously on your show. So all of these things kind of come together, and they give me pause as to just what really is driving the European Economic Union. I don't think that the picture is as pretty as the contemporary European politicians would like it to be.
Wow, that is really powerful.
Oh, yeah. It's very disturbing stuff.
Yeah. That's amazing. I just brought it up because I thought it was interesting.
You know?
Little did I know how much there actually was to that. No, I mean, all of this stuff is very interesting. And I mean, the Nazis have never really gone away, aside from,
right,
you know, being, you know, used as the typical villains in movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark. And
right,
I think there's a lot of connections there as well. But we'll get into that. But you know, they're held up as the paradigm of evil. So
right,
they've been really good as comparisons, and I mentioned about Hitler and whatnot. But you know, you hear a lot about and I think that the whole Nazi thing as well, you know, the political correctness really goes a long way in that regard.
Oh, yes.
Holocaust denial, of course, is you know, illegal in a lot of countries. In Germany, it's illegal to display any form of German symbology, Nazi symbology, excuse me.
Right.
In fact, there was actually a guy who was being prosecuted because he was selling T-shirts with a swastika, but he had the circle, the red circle and the line through it. He was
right,
still being prosecuted for that. And he's saying, no, these are anti-Nazi things.
Right.
And I think it's valid if there is a Nazi party still in Germany, and there is. I mean, there's always talk of neo-Nazis and whatnot. So what do you think about that? I mean, is this a really organized thing behind the scenes, or is this just simply young kids with, you know, saying, let's shave our head and be angry, wear combat boots and kick people?
I think it's more than just skinheads and so on.
Yeah.
I do think that there is some very deep covert organization both in Europe and in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is that during the aftermath of the Oklahoma City bombing, one of the episodes that is not talked about hardly at all in this country is the episode associated with Andreas Strassmeier. This gentleman was associated for a very long period of time with Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols, and he was also connected with Elohim City down there in Oklahoma, right across the border from Fort Smith, which is kind of a white supremacist religious group. He was their so-called security officer for a number of months. But after the bombing, he was stopped on a routine roadblock on the Interstate 40 there, and was driving without a license and so on, and of course the sheriff hauled him off to jail, and soon the sheriff gets a call from the governor of Oklahoma and from a lieutenant general in the Pentagon and so on and so forth, saying that they've got to release this guy.
Can I jump in here for a second, Joseph? I'm sorry.
Sure.
We got the music playing quietly there in the background.
Yeah, I'm not hearing any of your network feeds.
Well, we shall get that rectified, my friend. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes with the great Joseph Farrell and more adequate, frankly speaking, radio. Stay with us.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really wanna but can't stand to see me walk out the door? Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom.
Back, my friends. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest this evening is prolific writer Joseph Farrell. And Joseph, welcome back. You were just commenting about Oklahoma City and a little known factoid that I did not know about myself.
Well, yeah, we were talking about Andreas Strassmeyer, this character that had been the so-called security officer for Elohim City. He was caught, and of course, there were phone calls and pressure put on the local sheriff there in Oklahoma to release him because he had diplomatic immunity. Well, he did so, and Strassmeyer, it later turned out, got out of the country and turned up in Berlin, having been smuggled out of this country by the German GSG-9, which is, I believe that's the Geheimestaatsgruppe 9, which is kind of their version of Delta Force and the Navy SEALs. They're the ones that went in back in the 1970s into Africa and rescued that Lufthansa plane that had been hijacked. So, you know, these guys are not people to mess around with. Well, Strassmeyer, as it turns out, is the son of a member of the German Bundestag by the name of Günter Strassmeyer, who who was Chancellor Kohl's minister in charge of the reunification of Germany. So in other words, he was very highly placed. He was a graduate of the German equivalent of West Point. He was a captain in the Bundeswehr, which is the German army. So this guy was over here doing things ostensibly at the behest of the FBI, trying to penetrate American militias. But I'm rather suspicious about that story because of the manner in which he was smuggled out of this country. If he had been here entirely on our auspices, then we would have been the ones to get him out of this country and back to Germany rather than the German GSG-9. Mm. You know, and that raises another nasty little question. What's the German GSG-9 doing over in this country in the first place?
Yeah, that is a good question.
So, you know, all this happened, and it happened so quickly, and of course, the American media hardly covered it. The story was actually broken by a reporter for the London Times that was based in Washington, D.C., by the name of Ambrose Evans Pritchard, and he hightailed it back to Great Britain because he just didn't feel safe or comfortable himself. And so it's a very nasty story. And, you know, to me it raises the specter and the question once again of just how extensive and how well planned was this post-war Nazi international. Now, given the fact that Bormann was behind it, I think probably it was very extensive, very well coordinated, and very, very covert. Bormann was an operator par excellence, and I just don't see any other way of interpreting some of these things.
Wow. That's
yeah, it's very disturbing.
Yeah, it really is, and it indicates that, you know, as we have spoken of before on a number of different levels, that the Nazis, their agenda certainly, these things have never gone away.
Right, they have not. You're absolutely correct.
Wow.
And it should be pointed out, and it's one of those obvious facts, again, that you really don't think about until it's pointed out. At the end of World War II, when Hitler committed suicide, he appointed, of all people, Grand Admiral Dönitz to be his successor, not any of the big players that people thought would be his successor. And when Admiral Dönitz surrendered the German armed forces, he did so as the political leader of the German state. So in other words, what did not surrender at World War II was the Nazi Party itself. There was no real representative of the Nazi Party. And in the surrender documents itself, there's not even really a mention of the Nazi Party. So as far as the Nazis themselves were concerned, ideologically, things just went on as they had been prior to their coming to power.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very, very disturbing story.
Yeah.
And if we get into the connections that the Nazis actually made prior to the war in penetration into Iraq and into Egypt and connecting with some of the very radical and militant Muslims in those countries, then we can see the germination of what we're dealing with today, because Gamal Abdel Nasser, of course, in Egypt, actually employed some of these Nazis to train the Egyptian intelligence forces, to train the Egyptian military, and so on and so forth.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very big story.
That is amazing. Well, I definitely want to talk about that. Is there a connection between that and also the ancient technologies, such as the Great Pyramid of Giza?
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
Definitely.
Wow.
I think I've mentioned on a previous show, I forget when it was, but I mentioned the case of the Frenchman, René Schwaller de Lubiche, who is a very important scholar in terms of Egyptology and in terms of esoteric studies. De Lubiche was the one that actually first suggested that the Sphinx showed signs of water erosion, which of course meant that the Sphinx is much older than we have been told.
Mm-hmm.
Well, de Lubiche, during the war, was very enamored of Nazi philosophy. In fact, his contacts with the Nazis were largely through the SS, which,
can
of course...
Can we pause here for a second? I'm sorry, my friend. Quick break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in only 3 minutes with more from Joseph Farrell. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force.
Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
My friends, and welcome back. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. This hour is being brought to you courtesy of the generosity of our good friends at Howard Creek Resort. They have 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to all the fun things in the area. No matter it is, whatever it might be you're looking to do on a vacation, whether it's just find some peace and quiet, get away, or just do some touristy type things, Howard Creek Resort is perfectly located for you to be able to do all of these wonderful things. And Arkansas, just a beautiful place, a beautiful time of year also. And, of course, with 4th of July coming up right around the corner, time to start planning, folks. So go online and check it out for yourself, www.howardcreek.com. You can also call them toll-free, ask your questions, and book your rooms at 877-253-7690. Now, they also do something that is unique there at Howard Creek Resort. Of course, they allow you to book single rooms. Meaning just like you booked the cabin for one night. A lot of places in this entire state, in fact, every place I've ever been to, even the national parks in this state, all require at least 2 days, which really is a massive inconvenience for somebody like myself who works, you know, obviously till 2 a.m. Friday night, right? So, you know, Friday's out. I can't go and get a cabin Friday, and then Sunday is out for me too. So anyway, it's a really, really unique thing that they do, and it makes it very easy for all of us to be able to go and make a quick trip over there to Howard Creek And keep in mind their fireworks celebration that they have. It's historic. It's been going on for almost 30 years. You can watch it from the lake, Bull Shoals Lake here in Arkansas, on a boat. And just a stunning way to do that, I would say. Anyway, please, ladies and gentlemen, support our sponsors and advertisers, the people who make this show and this network possible. And, of course, they make this conversation possible, at least for you guys to hear it, because I would happily call Joseph Farrell and talk his ear off for hours and hours every day. Welcome back, sir, and please continue.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I forget actually where we were, but...
We were talking about, and again, I'm just going to screw up the names on a regular basis, but you were talking about the guy who had first made the claim that the Sphinx was actually significantly older.
Oh, yes. Schrawler DeLubish.
See, and, well, and why would I mess that name up, right?
Well, he was an interesting man, but one of the things that I want to point out, and it kind of goes back to the occult connection with the Nazis. His contact with them was via the SS. And while I don't have any proof of this, I suspect that it was through the branch of the SS that Reichsfuhrer Himmler had set up in 1935 to investigate military applications of the occult. And that branch was called the Ahnenerbedienst. And it is that branch of the SS that, in fact, sent expeditions all over the world on archaeological digs and so on. One of the most famous actually went to Tibet and acquired a copy of the Tibetan collection of very ancient writings, most of which, incidentally, is untranslated, called the Kang Shur, that specifically deals with some of these ancient civilizations and lost technologies. So the Nazis were definitely very interested in this and committed serious financial and human resources to uncovering it. So it's a very, very big story. We're really dealing with what I like to call kind of an ideology of Atlantis. This was a party, a political party, and a philosophy that was really geared for nothing but war and to investigate all avenues to achieving supremacy in it.
Wow. That is amazing. And it highlights the Nazis' presence in the Spielberg movies with a whole new light as well, because indicating that he knew, you know, or whoever was writing these things about that whole angle.
Of course, absolutely. You know, one other aspect of the story, I think Jerry Smith has been on your program pointing this out, but even Hitler himself had an interest in these things. You know, one of the first places that he visited after the Anschluss with Austria was that he went to the Hofburg Museum there in Vienna and removed the so-called Spear of Longinus, which was supposedly, or by legend, was the spear that the Roman soldier used to pierce the side of Christ, and had that thing removed and brought back to Germany itself. So this is beyond an obsession with the Nazis. It is really a part of their party ideology, although it's not often very discussed or very well known.
It is interesting because, you know, while some people may explore that or maybe thrown up in a fictionalized movie in order to dismiss it as a possible reality, which, of course, Hollywood does on a regular basis.
Right.
It's intriguing also because I think when you start looking at, here in America, for example, Skull and Bones and other sorts of secret societies, the Freemasons, I mean, all of these people are doing the exact same thing. The difference is that they're viewed as just, you know, harmless fraternity pranks and things like that. I mean, but... It's really the same sort of thing and the same sort of allegiance. So we see really no discernible difference behind the Nazi agenda as we do, meaning the occult side of things, as we do in American politics or anywhere else in the world.
Right. Well, you know, even the mention of Skull and Bones, there's a German connection there. Because if you dig into the history of that particular secret society, it is known as Chapter 322, but the Mother Lodge that founded it was somewhere in Germany. No one knows where. No one knows what that lodge was associated with, but the German connection is there even with that old American institution. So we are really dealing with, I think, a country that the occult has played a role at least as far back as the beginning of the High Middle Ages, and it has continued more or less that way. You know, you mentioned that I have some books. Well, I just sold rights to a couple of books for publication in Germany. And, you know, that kind of has me a little uneasy because
really?
I know for a fact that when those books come out, as a matter of course, just the way that, that German law works and the way that the German government is set up, that I will be put on some sort of watch list by the Bundesnachrichtendienst, which is kind of their version of the CIA. Excuse me. So, you know, it's a pervasive influence in German culture. And while I'm mentioning the Bundesnachrichtendienst, there's something else that people should recall about that organization. At the end of World War II, and we've mentioned this on your programs before, a deal was struck by the then OSS station chief, Alan Dulles, who was stationed in Zurich, Switzerland during the war. The deal was struck with General Reinhard Gehlen, who was in charge of Nazi Germany's Fremdenheer Ost, which was their military intelligence organization on the Eastern Front, in other words, for all of Eastern Europe. And Gehlen basically, as part of the deal, turned over this entire intelligence network, lock, stock, and barrel, to the American government, but retained control of it under American coordination. So, in effect, when the CIA was chartered by President Truman, when he signed into law the 1947 National Security Act, the Soviet desk, the operational Soviet desk of the CIA, was for all intents and purposes a bunch of Nazis.
Wow.
And when West Germany became a sovereign nation in 1949, that organization reverted to German control and became the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the German intelligence agency. So in other words, the foundations historically of modern German intelligence is precisely from World War II, and it's precisely German military intelligence.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just an unending story if you dig into the details.
It's really, really fascinating.
It's creepy.
Yeah, that too. No doubt. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan,
sure.
Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. Terrific show as usual.
Thank
Say
you.
Sorry, you caught me snacking.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, I was wondering about Patton. I mean, would you think that it's true that Patton was murdered? It wasn't an accident. And would you say that Patton was the only anti-communist general of the Allied Army in the entire World War II? He's the only anti-communist general in the entire war.
Okay, two good questions. As a matter of fact, we have talked previously on the show, and I talk a great deal in both of my books, in fact, about General Patton and his very strange death at the end of the war. For the listeners who don't know, General Patton was a military governor of Bavaria at the end of the war, and in 1945 was in an automobile accident with General Hobart Gray and then, of course, his driver, all of whom walked away from the accident except General Patton, who had suffered a broken neck in this automobile accident, and as a result, later died in a hospital of embolism after it appeared that he was beginning to recover somewhat. Now, you know, to me, this is one of the most tragic ironies that this man had been through the war and then died under those circumstances. But I do find his death extremely suspicious because at the end of the war, the Third Army is literally racing, hell-bent for leather, across southern Germany, across Austria, and into Czechoslovakia, into a city by the name of Pilsen, which is just a little bit west of Prague, about 30 to 60 miles, which was the home of the old Skoda Munitions Works, which was this huge armaments complex that had basically been the nerve center of Austria-Hungary's military in World War One. Now, inside of the Skoda Works at Pilsen, the SS, under an SS general, a four-star SS general named Hans Kammler, the SS had established what, in all intents and purposes, was a secret weapons think tank. He recruited scientists from all over Europe. He essentially freed them from the constraints of Nazi Party ideology. He put them under a triple belt of security that was run by Gestapo Miller, Heinrich Miller. That's another part of the story that we might get into tonight. And basically, he told them to brainstorm their way to second, third, and fourth generations technologies, and they did. Now, when Patton goes in there, his field intelligence reports would have told him, if he did not know already what the secret reason for his drive into southern Germany and Czechoslovakia was, his field reports would have told him basically what his units were uncovering there. So if there was any American commander in the entire war that knew as much about the extent of Nazi secret weapons, it was General George S. Patton.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it extremely suspicious, then, that he dies under the circumstances that he dies, because he has a much clearer picture, probably, than anyone else of the extent of Nazi secret weapons research, and more importantly, of the extent of its success. Now, in answer to your second part, was he an anti-communist general? Most certainly he was. And I think that in that regard, the other concern, if we keep in mind this hidden intelligence agenda behind the operations of the Third Army in the final months of the war, I think that if we are putting ourselves in the position of the CIA or at the time the OSS, the concern would be that Patton's mouth might let out some secrets that they did not want let out. And if there was a motivation for his murder, I'm not saying that he was murdered, but I'm saying it's a strong possibility. And if he was murdered, then I think it was probably out of a concern to silence him from letting anything slip that might give an advantage to the Russians.
No, I'm sure. So, but I mean, well, my question was, I think he's the only anti-general head. Ike wanted the Russians to take Berlin. I think that undoubtedly Wilson was a flaming communist traitor that gave China to the communists. And my question is basically, he's the only anti-communist leader we had during World War II, except maybe possibly Churchill. But at one point about Churchill, he and Hitler spent the night in the same hotel before, before the war started. Churchill and Hitler, both by, as big as the world is, happened to be in the same hotel a few nights before the violence started or whatever. So I would think that Churchill and Hitler were on the same side, and Churchill hated communists as much as did Hitler. But I was saying Patton's our only anti-communist general. I mean, what do you think of all that?
Well, I would happen to agree. I mean, it's well known that his sentiments weren't at all favorable toward communism or towards the Russians. But that being said, I think that much too much is made out of his comments toward the end of the war that, you know, they ought to turn the Germans right back around and let them lead another invasion of Russia. I really think that Patton is just resorting to a bit of hyperbole there, because he was much too much a creature of duty and military honor and so on to entertain the idea seriously. And I don't think that that was a plausible motivation for any possible murder that may have occurred.
There was a talk about the time, which did happen later. Stalin murdered far more millions of people than Hitler murdered, and therefore, by stopping Stalin, they would have stopped not just the imprisonment or slave ship of Eastern Europe to become a puppet of the communist Iron Curtain, but they would have stopped all of the violence from happening because they knew it would happen, because they knew Stalin was a slaughterer of millions of people. And Patton, by stopping communism, would as would have MacArthur by stopping communism, the atom bomb, which he wanted to use in North Korea, whether this would have stopped all the slaughter of all those people in Europe by Stalin, who murdered more millions of people than Hitler did. So I suspect that Patton, and it was obvious that Stalin was going to do all this, though it was still unclear, I think, who he murdered.
Well, I have to disagree with you there. And the reason is, and I'm not questioning that Stalin was a mass murderer or anything of the sort, but I am going to have to disagree with what we thought Russian military capabilities at the end of the war was. And we have to go back to the fact, a recently released fact, as a matter of fact, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, the Russian government released finally its official figures for its losses during World War II, and they are somewhat double of what we have been told. Now, the figures that we've been told run anywhere from about 17 million to about 25 million losses as a direct result of German military operations on the Eastern Front. So this would mean that the total casualties of World War II go up anywhere from 65 to 70 million people, and approximately 40 to 50 million of those are Russian. Now, if we look at the population statistics of the Soviet Union prior to the war, this would mean that the Soviet Union has literally been bled dry of about 16% of its total population just to get the Nazis out of their country. Now, this would mean, in terms of post-war military capability of the Red Army, that their economic infrastructure to support any massive military operations such as we thought they might do would simply be impossible.
Let me jump in here. Dan, I appreciate the call, my friend. And folks, stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes, and we'll be concluding our first hour. But Joseph Farrell will be with us the whole show, so be aware of that phone number, 800-313-9443. Stay with us. We're back after this.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Oh.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. I'm thrilled you're with us. Our special guest this evening, author Joseph P. Farrell. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Frank. Man, boy, this hour goes fast.
I'm telling you. And I'm glad. Thank you for spending so much time with us tonight. Sure. I know you're going to stay on the whole show, and I'm really excited about that. When we're talking about all these things, there is... it's also mentioned, and we've discussed this on the show as well, the possibility that the Soviets suffered so many losses, perhaps due to a some sort of weapon of mass destruction.
Yes. Well, this, you know, the Soviet casualties during World War II, even without the revised figures, are so astronomically huge. The German Wehrmacht just literally went in and devastated the European section of Russia. Mm. And, you know, the Red Army had to claw its way back for 3.5 years just to reclaim the territory that the Wehrmacht took in about 3.5 months.
Wow.
So, you know, we are dealing with something that if we look at in terms of conventional military operations, as operationally competent as the German army was and probably still is, that kind of infliction of casualties really stretches the military possibilities to incredulity. They're not believable. So something was going on the Eastern Front in terms of the weaponry that the Germans were using. And it's a very interesting thing that in Colonel Otto Skorzeny, who was one of Hitler's favorite SS commandos, in his memoirs, he writes of an attack that the Germans made during the campaign in 1941 to take Moscow, of an attack that they made with some of their rocket-launched artillery using what he called liquid air bombs. Now, folks, that's a code for fuel air bomb. And if you don't know what a fuel air bomb is, it's a conventional explosive with the explosive punch of a tactical nuclear weapon. So, in other words, these are awesomely huge weapons. And when you have a battery of 6-barreled rocket launchers, a battery of 3 of them, you've got 18 of these things screaming down on you, which would absolutely decimate any Russian positions it fell on. And not only that, but if there was anyone lucky enough to survive, it would decimate their morale. And so extreme were some of these attacks that the Germans made on the Eastern Front that the Soviet Union actually communicated to the Nazis via Sweden that if they didn't cease and desist, the Soviets would start using poison gas.
Wow.
That's how extreme and dire the situation was militarily for the Russians during that whole conflict. The other possibility has always been that the Germans, if they did perfect their atomic bomb and used it operationally prior to the end of the war, they would most likely have used it on the Eastern Front because, of course, Nazi ideology considered the Russians somewhat subhuman. Mm. So we're dealing with the very likely possibility that we've never been told the entire truth about the military campaign in Russia.
That's really fascinating to
yep.
me, and obviously on a number of levels, you can go ahead and look at World War II, and in that era of media coverage, I mean, it was certainly nothing like what we have today, obviously, on
right.
a number of different levels, but, you know, a lot of the news updates and the news broadcasts, you know, they didn't contain images. A lot of them were just stories, and then the ones that did have the images were officially sanctioned military footage shown in movie theaters before film. So,
right.
you know, in that regard... You take a look, and you've got the Russians, and you've got the Germans. I mean, they're both going to censor their news as well. So these could
sure.
be things that nobody knew about had you not been there. So
right.
let me pause and jump in here for a quick legal identification. Folks, we're back in 90 seconds with more Frankly Speaking Radio.